Okay, let's start from Perek Gimel Pasuk Hey. Divrei Hayamim Beis, Perek Gimel Pasuk Hey, V'eis Habayis HaGadol Chipo Eitz Biroshim. Shlomo covered the floor of the Bayis HaGadol, which refers to the Heichol, with Atzei Biroshim. There are two woods that are used, there are mainly two woods used in the Mikdash. Atzei Arozim and Atzei Biroshim. Arozim was used for the ceiling. Okay, I don't know the significance, but there are two woods. The arozim is used for the ceiling, and the biroshim, what?
It's wood that's used for beams.
Beam support, and the biroshim is always being used for the floor. Okay, this is wood that was first put on the floor. So Chippa, according to the we'll see them in one moment, he took this device, Chippa, he covered eight biroshim by Yichapeu Zahav Tov, and he covered the wood with this exceptionally good, this good Zahav Tov, this good gold. Vayal Alav Timarim Vishar Shiros, and he etched upon the gold images of palm trees and of Sharshiros chains. This is a theme which appears throughout the entire section. Chains with a
so
it represents the shalshelas hayichos. There are different interpretations. For right now, we'll just assume it means the combination chain is always many links that we all connect ourselves back to the source. This is how Klal Yisrael they differentiate themselves from the Umos Olam. The Umos Olam do not look back to the past favorably. They look back at the past as people. They were primitive. Whether they want to learn that they were monkeys, evolution. That's really a modern concept. But they do not. They look at each successive generation as superior to the past. Whereas Klal Yisrael, we take pride. We take pride in who we come from. We come from the Avos. We come from greater people, greater stock. And this is a major theme that appears in the Beis Hamikdash. Many things were designed with this concept of chains. A chain is a link. We're one. Link is connected all the way back to the source, and this is that's what it says. Let's see over here the pasuk in the Mitzudos pasuk Hey, Habayis Hagadol. According to the Mitzudos, some of the Bais refers to the Heichol. Ze Heichol Shahaisa Gedol Mikulam Mem Al Chaf. There are three chambers. Remember, there are three chambers. Three chambers back to back, all the way up front is the Kodesh Hakadoshim. It's 20 by 20. Then comes the Heichol, which is 40 by 20. And then comes the Ulam, which is 10 by 20. So it's 10, 40, and 20 for a grand total of 70. Okay, it's 70 Amos from end to end. Ulam is 10, the Heichol is 40, and the Kodesh HaKadoshim is 20. So when it says here, according to the Mitzudos, the Eitz HaBayis HaGodol, he's being selective. He's referring to the middle chamber because that was the largest of the three. Further in the Mitzudos, Vayal Lov, Hela Alach HaBayis Chippa, Esakarka HaBayis Chippa. So according to the Mitzudos, he says, if not for the Mitzudos, you would now learn the Pasuk like this. You're thinking first of the walls. But that's not what he says. He refers, he covered the floor. The floor was laid. It was not a stone floor. We are always under the assumption, you learn the Gemara, that the Kohanim, they got sick. So the Shkolim, not so long ago, they got sick because they walked barefoot in the Beis HaMikdash, and the Beis HaMikdash was stone, so their feet got cold, and that made them ill, especially when you combine that with the fact that they ate a lot of meat, and wine wasn't exactly the best type of living conditions to eat a lot of meat and wine and walk around barefoot on a cold stone floor. What?
I thought they didn't drink wine, they drink water.
Oh, you're right. So you're not allowed to drink wine. You're right. I mean, you're right. You're not allowed to drink wine. They become shikur. You're right. I'm sorry. They just ate meat. The problems. But that was only true when it came to the Azara. But the actual Heichel itself, where the Kohanim, when you go to the Menorah and the Shulchan and the Mizbech HaKetores, there at least in the time of Shlomo HaMelech, it was made from gold. It was a gold floor. How many people today have in their dining room a gold floor? And they walked, obviously they walked barefoot. But that appears not to be true during the time of the Bayis Sheni. The Bayis Sheni, it appears the floor was not gold. They did not build the Bayis Sheni, even in the good old, in the good days. And certainly when they first built the Bayis Sheni, originally it was not very elaborate. But even later on, it does not appear, because it says in Chazal that they were different sections of marble where they hid the keys. doesn't seem that there was, doesn't mention that there was gold floor in the time of the Bayis Sheni, but here it's very clear according to the Mitzudas that the floor was paved with gold. Okay, let's go further. In the Mitzudas Pasikei, Vayechapeyu, Alo Eitzim Chipos Zav, top of the wood, so first it was wood on the floor, and on top of the Atzei Birosim, Broshim came the gold. Vaya love hella alachibi tsiure iloni tamar vishar shiros. The floor. There were designs on the floor. Images of palm trees and of chains. Okay, let's look at Rashi Pasik He. Now, according to Rashi, Rashi is learning the pasuk not like the Mitzudos. Mitzudos, we just again said that this whole pasuk hey is a description of the floor of the heichal. Rashi disagrees. Rashi says that pasuk hey is a continuation of pasuk dalet. Okay, pasuk dalet is describing how they covered the walls with gold. The walls were made from stone. It was covered with wood. On top of the wood was gold. And Pasuk He is giving us an elaboration of what it says in Pasuk Dalet. If you go back to Pasuk Dalet, it says, V'ulam asher al pnei ha'irich al pnei ha'irich ha'bayis ha'imos eshim v'ha'goyva ne'a v'eshim v'yitzapeyu mipnima zohov tohar. Those last four words of the Pasuk refers to, mipnima refers to the heichol, and the Kodesh HaKodashim, according to Rashi, refers to the walls. And now, in Pasuk Hei, it's coming to elaborate how exactly they cover the walls of the Heichal, the Kodesh HaKodashim, with gold. So let's see Rashi, V'kolema, Kishiyitzayir, Kol HaYitzurim, when they design the images, first, Tzipo HaKoro Zahav, Achar HaTzirin, they covered the walls with gold, Achar HaTziron, after the plates of gold, or it could even be the wood, was etched with designs, and then umechaskan bimismaros, it was then strengthened with nails, b'kaiselo eitz, it was then these gold plates were then inserted into the wall with nails, kadesh lo yimot ma shlohoya, so that it should not be removed. Because you couldn't do this against the stone. That's why first they covered all the walls of the Beis Hamikdash with Atzei Biroshim. So Rashi is very clear here, referring to the walls, but now referring to the floor. What does that mean? Tzir tziurin harbe mole kol. They etched on the walls all different types of images. Uchshara. Now here's something. Kishahoyu kulam cholok. When they saw that there was an empty space, ben tzior litzior, if they had any empty space along on the walls, that's where they would etch a chain. Hoya mitzayir tzior ke'en sharshro shemad bikin bo kol dover. The chains would connect all the images.
A frame?
Yeah, wherever there was a blank around all the tzurim, he put a...
Shemad bikin. What shemad bikin bo? It would connect. Kol dover, you want to say means a frame? Kol... Shemadikin means over here that they etched these chains into the walls itself. I'm not exactly sure what it means. I really don't know. But it means that it was very elaborate. There were many images, and in the blank spaces, there were these things which looked like chains. Either they were attached to the wall, or they were etched into the wall, and somehow these chains either formed a frame, as you're saying, or it connected all of the images together, at least in its appearance. There should be no empty space in between them. That's one interpretation. Second interpretation, inyan acher, mamish sharshro shel zav asa. It wasn't something that was etched into the wall. They made separate chains and they were attached, they were glued, or they were nailed into the wall. The davak dibek hatsuros bohen yachad, and they cleaved the tsuros with these chains together. So there was some type
of
images,
like
of flowers, of blossoming, of almonds, of date trees, all different types. It doesn't tell us what the images are. We have no idea what they look like. It's beyond us what it looked like. Kruvim. Well, the Kruvim were images of people. That's part. Right. So it says also that they did have images on the Paroches. There were images of Kruvim on the walls. At one point it says, we'll see soon, that also there were images. Because I don't know exactly what this means, but all we know here is the basic Yusodus as we have in Machlokes Rashi and the Mesudos, what exactly are they covering? They're covering the floor, they're covering the walls. According to Rashi, they're covering the walls. And they cannot cover the walls directly with gold because the walls are stone and gold does not cleave to stone. So you have to first add, say, Viroshim. And then on the wood, either they etched into the wood designs and on top they plated with gold, or they plated the gold itself was designed and nailed onto the walls. In addition, there was also Sharshrosh. What are Sharshrosh? Either they were images of chains or they were actual chains. And somehow, and more detailed I do not know, it was connected to give some exotic image inside the Heichal. Okay, Pasuk Vav. Pasuk Vav tells us, Vayitzav esabayis even yukara lissif ores. The bayis was covered with precious stones for glory. Now, every new car, we'll see. Okay, let's go further. The hazahav and the gold. Now, the gold was zahav parvoyim. According to the Mitsudos, this is the name of a place. It's a location which is a very expensive gold. Let's see, pasuk vav in the Mitsudos. Vayitzaf. Bikiros habayis. So now we're going the shitas according to the mitzvah. Since pasuk hey described covering the floor, now in pasuk vav according to the mitzvah we're going to describe the covering of the walls. Bikiros habayis. What do they do
inside
the heichal and the kodesh hakodashim? Shika. They set. They insert it. It like sunk. It was sunken, meaning it was inserted. Avonim yikaros b'mishpitzoyz hazahav in settings, gold settings. Lios l'noy ulapoer. Precious stones were set in the wall in order to give it a beautiful appearance. Hakoyros. Okay, that's pasuk zayin. Let's see Rashi. Rashi now. How is he learning this pasuk? Pasuk vav. Vayitzaf esabayis seven yikara shika v'ribates avonim yikaros b'zav b'kiros abayis l'teferes l'noy. Same thing. He's saying it's part of the walls. In addition to the images that we had in the walls from before, they also sent to the walls precious stones. The hazav, what kind of gold was used here? Sha'imer vayichapeu zav tohar mizav. Now here, Rashi here is getting into trouble. According to the Mitsudos, we have no trouble. Because Pasik, hey, told us there's something called zahav toif. And the Pasik vav, we have a new zav called zahav par voyim. According to the Mitsudos, no problem. There are two different types of gold. The Zohav Toiv was used for the floor, and the Zohav Parvoyim, which was the name of a location, was used for the walls. But according to Rashi, we're only discussing the walls. We're not discussing the floor at all. So we have a problem. We have two different types of gold. What gold was it? Was it Zohav Toiv or Zohav Parvoyim? The answer is, the Zohav Parvoyim is a description of the Zohav Toiv. There is no such thing.
It's a pink kind of gold.
But there's no such thing.
Gold,
right. It looks like blood. It's like a yellow, it's like a reddish type of gold, reddish hue. There's no such thing as Zohav Toiv. If you go to the store, you go to the market, and you look for Zohav Toiv, so what do you mean? All of our gold is Toiv, is good. It's all good. What it means is, it's an explanation. The Parvoyim is a type of Zohav Toiv. Again, but according to the Mesudos, no, there is such a gold called good gold. Special type. Let's see Rashi, Vav, Vayitam, Zabayis, Evan, Vazav, Kshemer, Vayichapeu, Zohav Tohar. The Zohav Tohar that was mentioned in the past, okay, here it's a Zohav Toiv, but it says in the previous book, Zohav Tohar, Mizov Parvoyim, Perish. Parvoyim Shem Mokoyim, its name of a place. Rabbi Seinu Perish Chazal, as they do very often, they take place, they take different words, and they find some deeper meaning, and they say, Perishu Shadoim L'dam Parim Merov Shivchoy Ve'ad Mimuso. It looks like the blood of Parim. I guess, I'm not familiar with animals, but different animals have different color bloods. Some bloods are redder than others, or different shades. Different shades. Even the Gemara says, even when an animal dies, the dam hanefesh, the blood that comes out when the initial cut in the neck, when the soul of the animal leaves its body, has a different color than the blood that trickles after the animal is already dead. The blood, the oxygen, I guess the oxygen level in the blood is different as it passes as time goes on, and even within a few moments of the animal's death. So even that's true when it comes to the animal itself, the moment of when it dies. Certainly it's true when you're dealing with different types of animals. Different types of animals have different color bloods, and I guess this is it's a very deep red form of blood, which was the color or the radiance of this type of gold. Let's go to Pasuk Zayin. So now the pasuk goes on to say that Shlomo covered the bayis. We'll see what that means in a moment. Which part of the bayis are we referring to? The bayis, hakoyrois, the walls, hasipim. Sipim are the posts, the doorposts, the kiros, so the curves of the beams. I'll tell you about, so the curves of the beams. These are the ceiling beams. In the Beis Hamikdash, you can see it was a yoifi. People died, many people in their homes, in some rooms. By design, you see there are beautiful beams, right? That's a form of beauty. So there also, it appears, there were certain beams which were exposed in the Beis Hamikdash for noi, for beauty, and those beams were covered with gold. That's the koyrois. Hasipim are the doorposts. The kiros of and the walls. The dal sois of and the doors. Zahav, all of these things were covered with gold. Upitach kruvim al hakiros, and kruvim were etched into the kiros, the walls. Pasuk zayin in the mitzudos, hakiros, kiros hatikra, those are the roof beams. Hasipim mizuzos hadalasos, the doorposts. The kiros of, haks on the walls. Upitach chotar tsuros kruvim al haksol, he etched the image of kruvim on the walls. Okay, so this, I guess, refers to, according to the Mitzudos, we're referring to which walls are we referring to? It's not clear, because we already mentioned in Pasuk Vav, well, it's not a question, Pasuk Vav tells us that they inserted stones, precious stones, into the wall for beauty. In addition to inserting precious stones, they also covered the walls with beautiful gold. According to Rashi, Rashi has more of a problem, because Rashi, we already know the walls were covered with gold. Let's see Pasuk Zayin in Rashi, Vayichaf, Kamoi Vayitzaf. The word Vayichaf is the same thing as Vayitzaf. Okay, that's an interesting point. We have different words being used to describe the overlaying of gold. Pasuk Vav is Vayitzaf, Pasuk Zayin is Vayichaf. Kamoi Vayitzaf, Mefarish Matziba Bebeis, the bayis. What exactly did they cover in the bayis? Hakirois, the hasipim, the walls, and the doorposts, the kiroisav, shel sipe habayis. Of the, so here he's coming to, Rashi is coming to defend himself. Since Rashi says, the walls of the posts, okay, shel sofit, I guess that's the threshold. So Rashi is telling us, I already told you that they cover the walls of the Mikdash with gold. So why does it repeat here that they cover the walls again? The answer is the kiroisav here are not the kiroisav of the previous pasuk. The kiroisav are the walls of the sapim. Now we don't know exactly what this means. Okay, even the picture is not really clear. I should have brought in more pictures maybe tomorrow. But the posts also had some expanse. Like today we think of a doorpost, right? You look at a door. So the door just has a simple post. But it appears the post was more than just a mezuzah. The mezuzah had some depth or some elaboration where there was a section which was called a wall. I don't know what part exactly of the post that is. Maybe the outside and the inside, that was called the post, and the part that's flush when you're walking through, maybe that's called the kir. But it's a specific part of the post is called the kir in this interpretation according to Rashi. And Rashi appears to be forced to say this because Rashi said before already that the walls were covered with gold. So what are we coming to add? The answer is, we're not referring to the walls now, we're referring to the elaborate doorposts. The elaborate doorposts had many parts, and one part of the post was called the kir. Shel sipe habayis, the post of the bayis, shel hayu shelavanim, it was made from stone, or mefarish kiroisav v'dalseisav zav, and therefore it's telling, that's why it fits perfectly, that Rashi does have, seems it's very, really, very nice into Rashi, because it says here, they cover the kiros, the beams, on the ceiling, and then there are three words that refer to the doors, and the doors are made from the hasipim, the post, the kiroisav, part, the board of the post, the dal soisav, and the door which closes against the post. Everything, those three words all refer to the same part of the door, the part that opens and closes. Okay, next. Then it goes on to Melachim Kosev Ad Kiros Hasibin, L'kach Kore Gag Kiros Hasibin. That's what we call the roof. The Gag Kiros Hasibin. That's what it's called. It's called the Gag Kiros Hasafun Shagag Hoyikimos Sefina. Why do we call it Sapin? So Rashi here is telling us why it's called Sipim. Sipim means the post. Why do we? So the kiros. Okay, now I got it. It's the mashkoif. Okay, now I understand. And just like in the Torah, we have the mashkoif and the mezuzos. Correct. The mezuzos are the side part, the side beams, and the mashkoif is the ceiling, is the top part. A door part has two parts. So here, these are the modern day words. The sipim is the top, is the mashkoif.
Like in the Megillah, Shomrei HaSaf.
So he's telling us here the saf is the top, specifically the top, and the kiroi saf are the mezuzos, are the posts, are the side. That's what he seems to be saying. And the farish kiros of Malachim calls about kiros hasipim, the kiro until the kiros hasipim. Lekach kari gag kiros hasafon. The reason why we call the roof of the posts the safon shehagag kari kmo sfina vareva hapoich hafucha. It was like an upside down pot. It was a design. The top part looked like you take a bowl and you turn it upside down.
It was arched instead of straight.
It was
like
arched.
Spanish arch.
Okay, but
it was like a boat, you know.
Okay, I mean, it was arched. Okay, fine. Okay,
Safina
vareva pucha shekin minig likrois es a karui ogul. All right, anything that was round, kein safina. I don't know if the base hamikdash itself. That's a discussion. I don't think it was round. According to the picture books, I don't think it was flat. But it could be. It's a borrowed expression that since generally. In those times, the mashkef, the upper portion of the door, was round. So, and anything that is round is called a sfina. So it got the term stuck. And even if you have a doorpost that's flat, that's square, it's not round, it's still going to be called the sipin after the borrowed term that is being called. Okay, so we take away from this pasuk is something very interesting. We have here, according to Rashi, three words: hasipim, v'kiroi sav. The sipim is the top, and that's called a saf. Saf miloshon sefina, because typically the top was. No, he says a boat. He says a sefina, because typically anything that's round, that's arched, is called a boat, because the boats are round. And then when it says here the word kiroisa, that refers to the side posts, and what connects the side posts and the top, the dal soisav and the door. But again, according to the Mitsudos disagrees. The Mitsudos says the word hasipim is a general term which refers to the entire post, everything top and bottom put together, and the kiroisav refers to the walls, the dal soisav refers to the doors. And the reason why the Mitsudos has the luxury of saying kiroisav refers to the walls, because he said that they already covered the when it says the word kiroisav before that was referring to the floor, not referring to the walls. So we don't have any reference yet so far that the walls were covered. If we don't have any reference, the walls were covered, so therefore we have now right to assume that we're covering it for the very first time here in this pasuk. But according to Rashi, that we already did cover the walls in the previous pasuk, not the floor. That's why he says the kiyosa refers to the side parts of the door. Okay, let's go further. And then they etched on this gold, pitach kruvim, etched the image of the kruvim on the kiyos. Pasuk ches. Now we come to the Kodesh HaKodashim. Vayas, Espes, Kodesh HaKodashim, they made the Kodesh HaKodashim. Arko, the length was Alpnei, Reich, Vabayis, Amos, Eshrim. The length was 20. The length was along the width. It's 20 by 20, it's a square. So even though the 20 is going to be right up against the width of also 20, Arko, Alpnei, Reich, Vabayis, Amos, Eshrim, V'ruchboi, Amos, Eshrim, and its width was also 20. Vayicha, Peu, Zohof, Toiv. And they covered the entire Kodesh HaKadoshim, top, bottom, all four sides, with Zohav Toiv. And it tells us here the amount. You have to hear like a word, Allah. The total sum was L'chi Karim Sheishmeos. 600 talents of gold was the sum of gold that was used to cover the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Pasuk Tes, Umishkol Lemismeros, how much was the weight for the nails? Everything was with a cheshbon, lishkolim chamishim zohov, 50 gold coins. So it appears the amount of nails they needed to cover the Kodesh HaKadoshim was 50 gold coins, the weight of 50 gold coins of gold. Furthermore, they cover the attic. The attic, the upper chambers, we learned yesterday that there were upper chambers. The height of the Kodesh went all the way until 120 amos, according to one interpretation. And according to the other interpretation, refers the upper stories, let's leave with that, was also covered with gold. Okay, let's see Pasuk Ches in the Mitzudos. Arku apnei ruach b'yabayis al sh'amar kein b'ulam sh'ay chaf al eser. Since we mentioned the dimension of the ulam was 20 by 10, amar kein b'beis kodesh ha-kadoshim im sh'ay so chaf al chaf, we mentioned the same different type of calculation, that it was 20 by 20. In other words, what Rashi over here is bothered by, when the Mitzudos is bothered by, why are we referring to the roichav? The length rested against the width. You don't have to say that, because the truth is, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, okay, there's a very deep idea here. We have here, we learned yesterday that when you have two different numbers, two different dimensions, and one is larger than the other, automatically in Halacha, the one that's larger is called the length, and the one that's, and the smaller number is called the width. So if we have here the Heichal, the middle room, there are three rooms, the Ulam, the Heichal, and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. If the Ulam is 40 by 20, so which one of the two numbers is called the length?
Usually
40.
The length is a
40. 40. And the width, that's usually, that's what Rashi said yesterday, but Rashi right. And the Mitzvah says. So therefore, we have the length of 40 and we have the width of 20, that's going to differ. The 40 is going to be the length, and the width is going to be 20. Okay, no problem. Now, let's focus on the Ulam. The Ulam, what was its dimensions? It was 20 by 10. So which one of the two numbers is called the length?
20.
And which one is called the width? It's called the width, 10. Now the problem is, which way is it sitting? Since it's small, so what's happening is we have here a box, and here we have length, width, and we take this small little chamber called the Ulam, which is 20 by 10, even though it's flush, it's exactly the same size, but we're going to call this portion the length, and we're going to call this portion the width. So we have here a chamber, and here the width is up against the length. Chamber 1, chamber 2. Chamber 1 is length, is flush against the width of chamber 2. Chamber 2 is 40 by 20. 40 is the length, 20 is the width. Chamber 1 is 20 by 10. 20 is the length, 10 is the width. Correct? So when we're going to take this chamber and connect to this chamber, we're connecting the width. The length of this chamber, the length of this chamber with the width of this chamber, right? And there's significance in that. I mean, there is significance in that because when you have a room, if you're an interior designer, where do you put the furniture? Speak to any interior first. Talk to a professional interior designer. Where do you put furniture? Well, the first thing you do before you decide on what type of furniture to buy, you have to first get the dimensions of the room. Right? You get it. I was once with someone in the store, they're buying tiles, bathroom tiles. So the first question was, today the style is they make big tiles, a new thing now. Right? I'm sure you've all seen. That's the new thing now, big tiles. Years ago, the little tiles, on the full big tiles. So this person wanted to get the big tiles, but the salesman said, well, how big is the room? And the room was very small. He says, no, if it's a small room, then you don't get the big tiles, it doesn't look good. You have to get very small. So it has to be in proportion. Everything, the first thing you got to know when you're designing something is you got to know your dimensions. If you have a long room, the furniture is going to be a certain type and it's going to be put in a certain location. If you have a short room, it's going to be different. It's very interesting that we have here a room, an ulam. The ulam, it has a length and has a width. That means something, especially when you're dealing with the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, well, the significance is, I do not know, but it definitely means something. We're taking this room, which has a length, and we're taking another room, which has a length in the opposite direction, the perpendicular, and we're gluing them together. So the length of room A is going to be flush against the width of room B. Now, here's what's fascinating. Now we come to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Kodesh HaKadoshim is a square room. It's square. Now, when the room is square, which one is the left, which one is the rear?
The truth is, it's not clear. You can't. They're exactly the same, right?
They're, you can't say which one is. They're all the same. So what would you do? So I would assume, okay, if it's all alone, it's isolated, go either way. But when you take this room, which is saving, and you put it against another room, which has a length of 40 by 20. And you connect it, you're going to assume that we're going to give the same, we're going to continue in that pattern. We're going to continue. So this room will call this portion the length, and we'll call this portion the width, because we're continuing from the heichal, which has a length this way, and the width this way. Yet the pasuk says here something amazing. We're not going to do that. We're going to switch. We're going to call this portion the width, and this portion the length. Even though it can really go both ways. Why? Just like, so the Mesudah says, just like we did this when it came to the Ulam. By the Ulam, we called this portion the length, and this the width. So we're going to do the same thing over here. We're going to call this portion the length, and this portion the width. There's a very big difference. When it came to the Ulam, the reason why you called the length was because it was 20 by 10. So 20 by 10, the larger number is the length, the smaller number is the width. But when it comes to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where it's 50 feet, it's exactly the same thing. It's 20 by 20. Why would you want to do that? So he doesn't make an issue. The Mitzudos. But obviously, if you're dealing with the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the holiest Mokum in the world, and the pasuk here is describing, now it's coming, it's giving dimension, the Kodesh HaKadoshim is telling us, now we come to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the Kodesh HaKadoshim is 20 by 20, and it has a length and a width. And we're going to assign the length, this way. And its length is going to be flush against the width of the Heichol. Why are you doing that? Why don't you just continue where you're going? So I think the answer is there is the deeper message is you can't compare the Kodesh HaKadoshim to the Kodesh. In other words, what can you compare the sun to the moon? You have an example with Moshe Rabbeinu and Yoshua. When Moshe Rabbeinu died, who took over? Yoshua. So what do the generations say? That Yeshua compared to Moshe is like the moon compared to the sun. So what does that mean simply? Simply you'll say the moon gives out light in the middle of the night, in the full month, right? When it's the 15th day of the month, and you go out in the middle of the night outside of the city, you know, it's not bad. You can actually read a book. Right? You go out into the forest, 5th day of the month, there's enough light, there's a significant amount of light where you can actually see something. Not bad. The moon gives light. The sun. Go out in the middle of the day. Wow. You can really see. So what's the chiluk between Moshe and Yeshua? You can make a mistake and think. You know the difference is? It's like a dimmer. Right? Everyone has in their home, some people have in their home dimmers. So you can put it up a little bit and you can put it up a lot. But they're all on the same dial. Moshe Rabbeinu is just, you push the dimmer all the way to the top, and Yeshua is, and you put the dimmer all the way to the bottom. Right? That's a big mistake. That's not the pshat. There's no comparison between the moon and the sun. They're in different leagues. Different leagues, a different world. How do you view the relationship between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Do you view it to be the Kodesh HaKadoshim is just a little bit more holy? Kodesh, wow, you come into the Heichal. There's the Shulchan, the Menorah, the Ketores. Wow, it's a holy Makom. It's holy. Now keep on going. Keep on going a few more steps, coming to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Wow, it's more holy. It's more. This was 20%, this is 100%. You just push the dial up a little higher. That's what the Pasuk is telling us. That's a big mistake. The difference between the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Kodesh is night and day. It's a different world. And the way the Pasuk is alluding to this is, don't think that the Kodesh HaKadoshim is just a continuation. If it was a continuation, then we would say this is the length, and the length of the Kodesh continues into the length of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. the width of the Kodesh is the width of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. No, this womb that comes after the Kodesh is in a different league. It's a whole different world you're entering. Its length is opposite the width. Its width is opposite the length. When you go and you go out of your way to indicate that its dimensions are completely different than the previous chamber, even though you could easily have said it's the same because you're continuing along and you, it's 20 by 20, you can go either way. There's a message. The message is, this room is completely separate, has nothing to do with the previous room. When you walk from the Kodesh to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you're walking into not just turning up the dial a little bit more. You're going into a different world, a different league that's beyond anything that you've come from. Yeah.
Yeah, but then you have the question that the Kodesh HaKadoshim has the same as the first one, as the first room. Because the first one was
going to
be...
The Ulam and the Kodesh are also different leagues. Of course, so the Ulam really has very little Kedusha relative to the Kodesh. The Ulam did not even exist in the Mishkan. The Ulam is just a room, it's
an entry hall,
right. It's just a lobby. The Ulam is a lobby. A lobby is not the place where the banquet takes place. It's the prozdar. You just come. You're coming into a little chamber, and a chanami. That's certainly that. But there, you don't have to see there. The chiddush would not be apparent because there you have no choice. There, since the ulam is 20 by 10, you have no choice but to say that its length is opposite the width of the heichal. But when you come to the kodesh hakodesh, the pasuk is doing something here which is unexpected. The Kodesh HaKadosh is 20 by 20. You can say it both ways. Why are you saying it? You're going out of your way. It's indicating to you, you're coming now to a new Makon.
Nobody's allowed in except for them.
Yeah. Right. But it's not just that no one's allowed in. It's also the way when you look at it, when we study and we look at it, we have to realize Kodesh HaKadosh is on a different leap. Like someone said to me, we say Kodesh, Kodesh, Kodesh three times. Someone who's new to davening, new to the Nusach HaTzvila, to these concepts. So he didn't know, what does it mean, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh? You always think, very holy. It's just an expression, whack, like, very, very holy. Then he studied and he discovered, no, it doesn't mean that. We actually translate it in davening every single day. The first, Kadosh Hashem is holy in Shemayim. The second, Kadosh Hashem is holy in the earth. He's holy down here. And the third Kadosh is in time. Hashem's holiness will exist le'olam u'li'olmei olmaya, forever and ever. Three completely different concepts of holiness. Can you compare one Kadosh to the second Kadosh, to the third Kadosh? No. The holiness in Shemayim has nothing to do with the holiness in this earth. There's different leagues. And the concept of being holy in time has a whole different understanding, the concept than being holy in Makom in this world. They're totally different leagues. Each one are completely separate. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Same thing. The Kodesh HaKadoshim is not just more holy. It's in a different league. And that is alluded to here in the way the Pasuk describes the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So long moment the Pasuk, we ask space of Kodesh HaKadoshim, Oroko, its oirech, its length, was al pnei roich of Abayis. Amos Hashem, the rachbo, and its width, which was opposite the length of the heichal, was Amos Hashem. Let's see them. So we did the mitzvahs, the first one of the mitzvahs. Let's see Amos Hashem. Amos Hashem was 20 Amos. You have to in a word in. It's a mikra choser, as is so common in these psukim. Allah, you have to in a word in. Allah, the total, the sum of all the gold that was used to plate the Kodesh HaKadosh was Kikodim Sheshmeh 600. Okay, then it says, Pasuk test the Mismaros. They need a lot of nails. Okay, special gold nails. Wasn't your average, I don't know, I know it's very funny. Gold is not a metal that is very strong. It's very slow. So how are you going to use gold nails? I don't know. I guess there are things that we don't know. Either it was Maisa Nisim or there are techniques. There are techniques that we are not... Yes, so how do you, a gold nail, it's not going to sell. It's not going to work. A gold nail...
It was a mixture of gold.
The building department...
You drill the hole first.
I guess it's like putty. I guess it's pressurized.
That's good.
Okay, some type of technique which is not a standard technique in today's high tech world. These are the pegs.
Why not?
Ayesedos Shechiber Bohem Esachibri Hazov Aloetzim, which was used to connect the plates of gold on the wood. Veho Alios, Koisle Bin Alios, these are the walls for the Ali for the second story. Okay, that concludes Pasik Yud. Let's see Rashi Pasik Ches and Pasik Tes and Rashi. Vayas es base. Now we describe now the Kodesh Hakadoshim. Kacho Yololoi Mavias es base Kodesh Hakadoshim Eshem Aleshem. The pasuk should have said very simply. He made the Kodesh Hakadoshim 20x20. Why is the pasuk going out of its way and telling us width and length? Elo Lefish Amal Lamala. Since sending us since before it said this concept of width versus length, length versus against width, but with regard to the ulam. We said the same thing. But remember my drish, I spent 20 minutes telling you. That's another whole different idea. Also, by the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he built Tchila Kiros 8. First, he laid wood. Which wood? Atse Birosim. That's a nice yisod. This Atse Aroz Birosim. Atse Arozim is for the ceiling, is for strength. And Biroishim is for design. The Olav Fipo Hazav, upon that was the gold, the Mashein Masri Khan, because the Shakadashim Shum Eitz. Why is it no mention of the wood, the type of wood? Was it Biroishim or Arazim? Zamishim Gdulos, Shalbeis Hamidosh, Klemmer, Kol Kosleveis, Beis, Harun Hoyeshal Zav, for Lo Hoye Bohem Eitz. There was no wood. It says here, but it doesn't say the word. I'm a little confused. It says here. It doesn't say it. There has to be there was wood, okay? Because the gold cannot stand upon the stone. Cannot be. Has to be wood. But the reason why we omit mention of wood is because we want to give cover to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The gold was so precious, it's ki'ilu the wood did not exist. That's what it says.
Did the wood show? Or
no, the wood did not show.
So it's not.
Well, the wood did not show. The wood did not show in the heichal either. It was
right.
Also fully covered.
Right. Okay.
So why then, in the heichal, do we mention it?
Just a backing for the gold. The
so, but we mentioned it in the previous pasuk when the ulam. So, why don't we mention it in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? So, zemishum gedulos shel beis hamidosh kolaymar kol koisle beis ha'oroin. All of the walls of the oroin hoye shel zav lo hoye bohem eitz. We don't want to mention any wood. V'zeh kovay l'kodesh HaKadoshim. We're giving it extra honor. V'malachim v'chiyach kein v'teder shebeshvil kvod abayis ein maske shum eitz. We don't mention wood, even though it had to be with wood. Sh'eksiv it says, v'yitzaf es abayis evin yikara. V'malachim l'eksiv evin yikara. Okay, it's sad. How could it be that the malachim does not say evin yikara? Okay, it's sad. El lefi shebeshah ha-sefer diri hayamim l'malchi Yehuda. Ho'ydiachal ki shloimoy chavonosoy l'chvod habayis. Since this sefer is to give cover to the Malchi Yehuda, Haydiachal ki Shlomo, his cover was Kavanu was lechvoyer habayis, to give honor. I'm giving honor. We don't even mention. We don't have to mention any material that's anything less than pure gold. Okay, lekikarim mekikarim was made from 600 talents of gold. Okay, next pasuk test nails. L'chazik b'chem azav b'kiras ha'etz l'shkolim l'mishkal shkolim chamishim shkolim shalzav. The weight of the nails equaled 50 shkolim of gold. Okay, pasuk. Now we come to the pictures. Pasuk yud. Vayas b'beis kodesh hakadoshim kruvim shnayim tukuv masei tsa'atsuim. In the masei of children, tsa'atsuim is another word for child.
The size of a child in the face of a child.
The face of a child, the image. The image of the face looked like a child. The word tsa'atsuim is a synonym for the word kruv. Kruv means a child. Shekain, they call one of the nations, they call a child kravya. So tsa'atsuim also means a child. It's used in Sefer Yeshaya. It means a child. And now these kuvim were not like the kuvim of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu's kuvim were pure gold. These kuvim were made from wood. They were made from atzei special wood. It says in Sefer Melachim, atzei balsam wood. I don't know, a certain type of wood, and it was covered with gold. Let's read further. You possibly get Aleph. Now look at the picture. Take a look at the picture. Handout. You see over here these two massive kuvim. You see the Arda, we're looking at this from the Kodesh. You look at this picture, make believe that you are standing in the Kodesh. And now you're walking into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So what do you see in front of you? You see the Aron. The Aron is teeny relative to these massive Kuvim. And the Aron, you see the Badim are coming out. Now the Aron, we have to remember, the Aron is, the Aron, just trying to make the proportions of space, was two and a, was that part of the Aron that you see is 1.5 Amos. Okay, the dimensions of the Aron were 2.5 Amos by 1.5 Amos. So that part of the Aron that you see is, is the 2 Amos. That's the larger part. That's 2.5 Amos. The entire Kodesh HaKadoshim from end to end was 20 Amos by 20 Amos. So it was very, very small relative to the open space. In the Mishkan, the Kodesh HaKadoshim was 10 Amos by 10 Amos. But here in the Beis HaMikdash, it was 20 Amos by 20 Amos. So the open space of the relative to the size of the Aron was much greater. Now, behind, on top of the Aron, is the Kapores. What's on the Kapores? 2 Kruvim. Those Kruvim were pure gold. There was no wood. Pure, solid gold. Behind the Kruvim, standing behind the Kruvim, not actually facing one another, were these 2 giant-sized Kruvim, which had legs. Okay, had legs and a body. The Kruvim on top of Moshe, there were no legs. Okay, maybe they tried to show there were some legs, they just came out, the wings came out, bodies came out, not exactly sure how, if they were legs, but these are giant-sized standing Kruvim towards the back. In this picture, they put it in the center. It's not really clear why it's in the center. I've seen some other pictures where it's put in the back. They push them further into the back, and they face forward, yeah?
A little surprising to see 2 legs.
It's, I have only one leg.
One.
Yeah, okay. I don't know how accurate these pictures are. And I don't think they have any way of knowing themselves what they're doing. They're just trying to, you know, open up your minds to appreciate...
They took a different form.
Okay, let's learn. Yeah. The kanfei hakruvim, let's read the passage now. With this in mind, now you look on top, you notice that it's 20, and there's 5, 5, 5, 5. Because each wing was 5 amos. So 5 times 4 is 20 from end to end. The kanfei hakruvim, orkom amos esrim, the wings of the kruvim in total was 20 from end to end.
They touched the walls?
Yes, they touched the walls. End to end. Kanaf echad la'amos, the wing of one. Now there are 4 wings. There are 2 kruvim. Each one has 2 wings. So the wing of one was chamesh, was 5. Magas l'kir habayis. Let's say on the left, it touched the wall of the bayis. You don't see the walls here because we cut open the kodesh hakodashim. V'akonaf acheres amos chamesh, and its other wing magia l'knaf hakruv acher. So the leftmost wing in this picture touched the wall. The second wing touched, went into the top, into the center, which made contact with the next wing. Pasuk Yud Beis. Then we go to the extreme right. The extreme right, it's touching the wall, and it's making its way inward. The second wing, which is the center, Amos Chamesh Deveka, would cleave l'knaf hakruv
ha'acher.
The body. You see the body.
Yeah,
that was part of
the wings were on top. The wings were on top. So there was no, when it says
for the body.
Well, the wing were, was on top.
That's over here.
The wing, right. The Gemara talks about it. But let's learn very simply that when it says the wing, it means the wing came above the body or spanned the entire body. It came from the back of the body. That's part of the wing. Like in the picture, you see the picture, it's giving you 5, it's going from the tip of the wing until the center of the body. Because the wing does indeed touch the center of the body, in the back part of the body, at least in this picture, that's where the wing reaches. The wing branches out from the center of the back of the body. Right, like you see in this picture, they put the dimensions for you. Now there is one very interesting point here in these 2 pictures. When it mentions the first wing, it says it's magia. It reaches l'knaf akruv ho'acher. When
the pictures of the wings, I don't care if it's the left part of the right one, and one of them, the body is incorporated within the 5, For example,
right.
Roots
because you don't see the, you don't, in this picture, you don't the see the back. You know, you're seeing the front. You're not seeing the back. The wing is going all the way into the back. Be a little creative in your in your vision. Look at the back. Look at this creature. In the back of the body, the wing goes all the way. The wing goes all the way to the back. Okay, now there's one interesting point I want to mention. Okay, there's one interesting point I want to mention. Interesting diuk. It says here about the first wing, it's magia. Look at the end of Pasuk Yud Alef. Yakonaf ha'acheres amos chamish magia. It would reach liknaf ha'kruv ha'acher until the other wing. In Pasuk Yud Beis it says the symmetry. It's diveka. It's cleaving. So why the change of expression? Why is it deveka? Furthermore, why when it touches the wall? Okay, the kanfi. Go back to pasuk Yud Aleph. The kanfi akruvim orkam amos eshem kinaf ho'echa, the wing of one la amos chomesh magaas with a saf magaas feminine. Magas reaches likir habayis. Then it says the second wing is magia, liknaf it's magia. Okay, it doesn't say magas, but it says the word magia. Pasuk Yud Beis liknaf akruv ho'echod. Okay, it says again echod, not achas. Knaf akruv ho'echod. Amos chamesh magia. It's magia, not magas. Here,
maybe kruv is a zacha.
Okay, that's. But look, the beginning of Pasuk Yud Beis is inconsistent with the beginning of Pasuk Yud Aleph, because the Pasuk Yud Aleph it's Knaf Ho Echad Lamos Magas, and here it says Magia Lekir Habayis, and then VeHakonaf HaAcheres Amos Chamesh Deveika is Deveika. Different word Deveika is to cleave. LeKnaf HaKruv HaAcheres. What is going on? So I think what this alludes to is that we Chazal tell us that the Kruvim had a parts of one was a Zohar and one was an Ikeva. So there is over here a change in tense of Zohar and Ikeva, and also there is the word Deveka. Now the word Deveka, Alkein Yazov Ish is Ove V'imo V'dovak B'ishtoi. Who's the one that we have the word Dovak? The man. You don't find in the Torah the word that the wife is Deveka.
Yeah,
the Baal. She's not Deveka the Baal. She gives him a hard time. It's the husband that needs the wife, not the wife that needs the husband. So I believe there is an allusion to this concept over here, the difference in the way man perceives woman than woman perceives. They would say the book, everyone, men are from Mars, women are from Venus. That represents the concept, just who they are, the way man thinks, the way man lives his life. But forget about that. How does man perceive? How does the man perceive his spouse? What is the man's? How does he look at his wife? The way a man looks at his wife, as far as her role in the partnership that they're in, is very different than the way a woman looks at the role her husband serves for her in her life. And that here is expressed in some degree between the lines in this pasuk. With one kruv, it says he's dovak. When it comes to the other kruv, I'm dovak. I'm cleaving on to you. When the other kruv looks back, when they're says, I'm not dovak to you. I'm touching you. Well, what are you? Are you in a state of dveikus, or are you in a state of old, from different perspectives? Chazal tell us one kruv looked like a zohar, one kruv looked like an ikeva, and that when they and represented the chiv between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, and that idea over here is present that in a relationship of zohar ish veisha, it's not the same. Each one looks at the other one a little bit different. The Torah only says the davak bishop with the man relative to the wife. Okay, that's a little illusion here in the past. Now let's see what it says. It says here in the man, the pasuk says, "Alken yazav ish esavi v'dovak b'ishtai." The man is dovak, so it would appear the second kruv is the male.
All right.
But if it expresses the relationship between a Kodesh Baruch Hu,
yes, same thing. So okay, you have to.
Then, it's we who are supposed to have this okay. Instead of Kodesh Baruch Hu.
Okay, right. It's true, the story. V'atem advekim b'Hashem Elokeichem chayim kulchem hayom. So he's saying, yes, means a contradiction. Because no, Hashem is always considered the Zochan within the Keva. And here it says, V'atem advekim, we're using the word advekim. Okay, it's a very good, very valid point. But yet, here in this, these two psukim, we have a contrast, two kruvim, which seemingly are identical, and yet they have different relationship. Different understanding. One is maga, one is magas. First of all, I don't know the answer why it says one. It says maga, and one it says magas. But besides that, when it comes to the wall, how each one touches the wall. One touches it like a man touches a wall, and one touches like a woman touches a wall. How do you touch a wall? Is there a difference? How you hold on to a wall, a man and a woman? I don't know. It seems to over here be saying there is a difference. And then we have another difference when they touch each other. How do you view that connection? Dveikus or just touch it. Let's see the Mitzudos Pasik Yud. Vayasu Kruvim Heim Amdu Biaretz Vahayu Meitzim. Some said they assumed the ground they were made from wood and they were covered with gold. Okay, they were made from wood, not like the Kruvim of Moshe Rabbeinu, which was made from pure gold. These were made from wood and they were covered with gold. Rashi says, Pasik. Yud Aleph, Pasik Yud. Masei Tzatzum. What does it mean, Masei Tzatzum? Digmasai Tzatzoim Vehatzifios. These are which, Vetargumai Ubanaya, Ubanaya means children, grandchildren. Okay, so there are different interpretations. It means male children, there are two words in the Yeshaya. Hatzoim Vehatzifios. Some learn male children, sorry, said our offspring. And how is he using this possible? Either it means children, grandchildren, or it means male children and female children. Okay, so it looked like boys, little boy, little girl. Also, the kruvim kravia. They made the kruvim like the image of a child. Vishal eitz hayu. It was made from wood. Vishuv vayitzapeh. It was something that was covered with gold. As it says in Malachim of Yas Bedvir Shnei Kruvim Atse Shemen, was made from this wood called Atse Shemen, a new type of wood, not the Viroshim, not the Arozim, called Atse Shemen. V'chol Mashu Befnim Meitz Einu Rotz Lahaskir Bezer Hasef Mishum Kivoydoi. As Rashi said before, why are we hiding the wood? There had to be wood. Why are we ignoring the wood? We want to minimize the fact that wood was used because the purpose of the Sefer is to give kavod to David and to his descendants, Malchus David, and you only want to mention positive things, gold. You don't want to mention even anything wood, which is not as kosher as gold. Yudal, the Kadavek of Morcham Amos Ashrim to me, Amos Kate said, Onof Echod, Lumas Chamesh. It was five abbas, it's five. The Soif Chamesh Magas, Lekir Habais. It was five, each one was up, each one connected to the other. Five, 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 five. They were in a row. The five wings were in a row. Four wings were in a row. The soif hachamesh, the end of the one ring magas lekir habayis ledorim. The akar vacheres magi leknaf hakruv haacher. It reaches its fellow wing, the other wing, the second wing. Shabbat sidoi haray eser amos lekruv echad v'chein leacher. Nimsa knaf kruv echad magi letzaf and knaf kruv echad ledorim. One wing is on the north, so one set of wings on the north, one set of wings is on the south. They were along the entire western wall. The goof of Amr Rabbeinu. So this is your question, Mr. Rappaport. This is your question. Okay, this picture he tries to say that they are on top, but some want to say that no, yeah, the wing came out of the arms. If the wing came out of the arms, that means you have to give it, let's say, an amma for the body. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a grand total of 22. Because you have four wings, which is 20, plus the body is in the middle, which is another 2. So it's 22. How does 22 fit in the space of 20? And Achanam, the Gemara says, this was a miracle. B'nei soyam l'fib shuto nirli. You don't have to say that. L'fib shuto, you do not need to say that it was a miracle. You can say that the wings overlap the bodies. Nirli shayagufa b'le neham protruded ko'ayv zeh, like a wing, like a bird. From the back, like that's what we said. How was the height? Okay, over here we have one dimension that is absent. What's missing here? The height of the kruvim. The height was 10. The height was 10 amos tall. Okay, that's 20 feet. Between 15 and 20, that's humongous. Can you imagine 15 feet? 15 to 20 feet? That's two stories almost. 15 to 20 feet, that's how tall these gigantic kruvim were. Covered with gold, made from wood, covered with pure gold. Okay, let's read one more pasuk. Parsim amos ashrim, they spread their wings 20 amos. Vehem umdim al raglehem, they sit on their feet. So it says raglehem. Maybe that's why he says over here raglehem in plural. If you want to say that raglehem refers to each one of the kruvim, that means each kruv had 2 feet. Upnehem labayis, or two together with raglehem. Okay. Upnehem labayis. So here is an important point. They did not look at each other. I mean, they looked partially at each other. We have a contradiction because the kruvim of Moshe Rabbeinu, they looked at each other. But the kruvim here of Shlomo, they did not look at each other. They looked forwards. Pnehem labayis, in other words, they stood in this picture. They have them in the center. I don't know why it's in the center. I've seen other pictures, other illustrations of this, these psukim, and ones in Malachim, where the kruvim were all in the back. They have the kruvim standing in the very, very back of the Kodesh HaKodashim, and their wings are facing forward, sheltering the entire Kodesh HaKodashim, and that's really what it seems to pnehem. Their faces, labayis, their faces were facing inward, towards the bayis. Well, if you're in the center, so what does that mean? You're already in the bayis. How do you face the bayis if you're in the center? That's why they put the kruvim towards the very, very end. Let's look at the Mitzvah Pasuk Yud Gimel. Parsim, Kshem Parshim, Berechav, Bekodesh HaKadoshim, Labayis. Mul, they spread their wings, Chalal HaBayis, V'loipinu Zem Mul Zem. Ponu Zem Mul Zem Mul Zem. Not like the kruvim of Moshe, which look one at another. These kruvim, they look towards frontwards. Yud Gimel and Rashi. They stood along the west. Rashi seems to make it very clear they stood in the west. Not like in this picture. This picture, they stood in the center. They stood away in the west. They looked forwards. Look forwards facing us if we're standing outside the Kodesh HaKodashim. Shlohayu Rashim Zukufim. Their face were not standing opposite each other upwards, but rather they were looking as if they're looking their heads were not straight up, but their heads were bent down. So according to Rashi, Pneim Labayis does not mean, like I told you, towards the inside, but it means looking at the ground. Their heads were bent downwards. Umabitim lefneim, and they were looking in front of them. They're not looking luchutz. They're not looking outside. They're looking in the vicinity of where they stand. We have a contradiction. On one end it says in Shemos that the kruvim should look one another. Here it says they look labayis. Ela poinim hoyu rashim ze keneged ze. Vegam rashayim kifufim was ben labayis. Klap eponim. Meaning, the arun hoyu oimed, mean on an angle. They were partially looking at each other, but partially looking forwards, to the side, to the bayis. The arun hoyu oimed bemokoim purisas shnei akruvim. The arun was in the center. Vayu kanfei akruvim matin min hakoistel, tilted from the wall, the seichichin al hakapiris, sheltered the kapiris, like in this picture, the al aron bekanfeim, ulvad mikruvim elu hoyakruvim. Besides these kruvim, you also don't forget the kruvim Moshe Rabbeinu, hayu elu kruvim shasim ma'ishim na kapiris, adain adukin umidubakim al hakapiris, yom malav al tisma. How? Why did Shlomo need to make another set of kruvim? Why did he make a giant set of kruvim when he already had kruvim of Moshe Rabbeinu? Like in this picture, we have here the aron, and on top of the aron we have the little kruvim of Moshe Rabbeinu. So why is now Shlomo find it necessary to make for himself another set of kruvim? That's not a kasha. We learned last week he made 10 shulchanos, the yud minoros, levad miyos, and shalmayish. So therefore, that's not a kasha. We learned daf yomi. I hold discussion daf yomi about the 10 shulchanos, the 10 minoros of Moshe Rabbeinu. That was yesterday's daf. Yesterday and today's daf. Going into and yesterday's daf, 2 days ago's daf, about where exactly they were positioned, the 10 shulchanos of Moshe, 10 shulchanos of shulchan and shulchan of menoros, and did they light all the menoros? Did they offer lechem aponim on the shulchanos? That's a discussion in the Gemara and where they stood. So here also we have two more kruvim. Now I told you the Chasam Sofer why there was extra menoros. I told you a Jewish why there were extra shulchanos. The connected the 10 extra shulchanos, the menorahs was connected the 70 nations. The menorah of Moshe was connected the Zion are nations of Canaan, and Shlomo in his time conquered the world, so he added 10 more menorahs to have 70 more menorahs connected the 70 nations. The Shulchan has 12 loaves of bread connected the 12 months of the year, which is 1 year. And then Shlomo added not just 1 year, we need a person's entire lifetime. A person lives for 120 years, so he added another 10 Shulchanos to bring the total number of loaves of bread from 12 to 120. 12 loaves of bread corresponds to 12 months of the year. That's 1 year. But 120, that's the number which is symbolic of 120 years. Multiply the Shulchan of Moshe for a person's entire lifetime. What's the purpose now of the extra set of Kruvim? So, I believe I once heard, what's the purpose of the Kruvim? Kruvim is, it represents the Chiba, love. The Chazal say that it's, when the Kruvim, when Klai Yisrael, Oysim, and Sen Shalmakom, the Kruvim look at each other like a husband and a wife. Chiba Yisrael, they embraced. And even at the time of the Chorban, it was a miracle, they embraced, this was a Chiba, Hashem destroyed the Beis HaMikdash in order to save us. It was an expression of love. What does it say in Pirkei Avos? Chiba Yisrael, it's a very, what's, I forgot the exact words. Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tselem. Adam, man is precious in that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man in his image. Hashem did not need to create man in his image. Animals are not created in the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Only man is created with Tzelem Elokim. Why did Hashem do that for us? Chiba. Chaviv Adam Shnivra B'Tzelem. He's created in the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then what does the parak say? Chiba Yisera. An extra dosage of chiba, shenoida alohem. It was made known to them that we were created in Hashem's image. It's a big deal that Hashem made us in His image, but Hashem didn't have to tell us that. That could have been a very big secret. But Hashem let it be known to us. In the Torah, Hashem lets it known. Ki b'tzilam l'kim niver adam. Hashem told us this. That's a chiba yisera. That's what Shlomo Melech Avir is doing. One set of kruvin is Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tselem. It represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu was master of the Shechina on this world. Hashem brought it to Chiba. Shlomo HaMelech is saying that in his generation, in his lifetime, when he was Zeicha to build, to upgrade the Hashmokam Hashros HaShechina from an Ohel to a Bayis, and Hashem gave us Eretz Yisrael, and we conquered the world, and we're in Orla Amim, this was a Chiba Yisera. An extra dosage of chiba. So the mele, it's proper to add to the first set of luchos of kruvim, another set of kruvim to indicate that it's a chiba yisera. There's such a concept. I'm giving you raw ideas. It's a little bit abstract, but in Perek we learned there's two different dosages of chiba. Chav adam shem v'tzelem, chiba yisera shenay da'alai. Those two levels of chiba correspond to the kruvim of Moshe and the kruvim of Shlomo. Chiba, achalam shnevar b'tzelam, chiba yisera shnei das lohem with these kruvim that Shlomo Melech designed.
Why does he make them facing each other like the kruvim?
Well, that's what Rashi addresses. Rashi is coming to address that point, and you have to look in the Radak and the Ralbag. It's prepared. They all discuss this issue. We have here a stira. Here it says that p'neim poinim la boyis. What exactly does it mean that their faces face the bias? When if Shlomo was coming to make kruvim, he has to make them in the image of Moshe Rabbeinu's kruvim. Moshe Rabbeinu's kruvim says ish elochiv, one to the other. And in fact, Rashi poses the contradiction. What's going on? So Rashi basically says, you look at that thing in the Radak, he really says a little more clear, is that it was both. That it was like they were mitzadei tzadudei, like a talmid hayotzei mibnei harav. When you walk out backwards from the Rebbe, you're doing two things at the same time. Since these are massive size kruvim, you can't have them look at each other. You have to have them look at also the center of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is the Aron. But they also have to look at each other slightly. So it's a combination of both. They're partially looking at each other, and they're also partially looking at the vice. Okay, stop here.